Hello and welcome to Techlandia. Techlandia is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. For more great content, please visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Hello and welcome to Techlandia, Grumpy Old Teacher 17. You know why it's 17, Scott? You were wondering why.
Is it the 17th of August, John? I don't know. It's late tonight.
Well, no. You're like, it should be 16, but I uploaded our last podcast.
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Winner.
My winner chicken dinner.
That's right.
I'm John Samuelson in Portland, Oregon. Down in the OC, we have the lovely, the talented, the multidimensional, the man we like to call him
Scott Bedley.
Ta-da, ta-da-da-da-da. Now we're on Blab. We're on blab.im, so there's no more sound effects except for my phone. So you guys are gonna have to get used to it. I mean, I know that was my whole shtick was sound effects before. So here, let me try this one.
Did you find a ticking clock? What in the heck was that?
That was my air horn.
Oh, okay.
I like this one, though.
It sounded like Chewbacca getting his foot stepped on.
Look at that. We could talk about 20% time, and then I could do this one.
It needs to be about 20% cooler.
There we go. It needs to be about 20% cooler. Oh, but we have this one. Here we go. So do that one more time. Scott Bedley. There it is. Look at these Google Hangouts.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, studio audience.
Roger.
So we're going to do – it's 12:53 in the morning on Sunday, yes. And we're just going to talk a little bit. We just decided to talk. And the topic that was bandied about today from Scott Bedley, because he's the brains behind the operation, we decided.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're talking about new teachers. How overwhelmed is a new teacher right at this very moment? Scott Bedley, do you have any new teachers at your school?
We have some new or younger teachers, and we've been doing this for, 5 weeks now. But I just think there's this mixture of excitement and energy. But I always worried that those new teachers, for whatever reason, John, they always just seem to get loaded down with a bunch of like difficulties, whether it's like the classroom that's AC doesn't work or they have not enough desks for the kids or something because everyone raided the classroom because they knew it was going to be a new teacher. Just stupid stuff like that. That's just really frustrating, I'm sure, but they're too new to know whether or not they should complain about it or what do you do about that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know it is. You're on fire tonight. Look at you. You're giving them. I'm going to give you props for that one on the blab right there. Look, I'll give you a prop. Because that's what happens. Because all the teachers that have been there a little bit go, hey, look at that teacher. They just left, and this new person's coming in. I'm going to go in a couple days early and steal the good desk, the good, you know, whatever it is that they have.
Right.
And then they don't replace it or anything. And then the teacher's kind of left going, why do I have all the crummy furniture? Why is that just normal?
Is this like a dues thing? Like they're gonna, like, is that the mentality? I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. It's not really prevalent at my school, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more support that's going on, and maybe that's more the reality out there, but I just hear stories of that, John.
No, I mean, I've seen it happen. All right, no, I was going to say, too, we don't want to pull a Jake Duncan, so watch your microphone on your shirt there, because every time you turn, I can hear you going whoosh, 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 like that. You're like making your own sound effect, but yeah, your school's pretty legit, right? I would say that your school's pretty legit, aren't you? You've been there for how long? 22 years now?
74 years, John.
74 years you've been there.
Yep.
And
I turned 100 yesterday. Don't I look good?
You do. You look good for that.
Darn good to be 100.
That's
what I always say, John. Lie up in age because you always look younger. If you lie down, people are like, whoa.
Dude, I know. I'm like 6 days away from my birthday, you know? You know who else is a Virgo? I just found this out. Tony Vincent.
Well, that doesn't Virgo. Surprise me.
That's why we get along so well, Tony.
I can see that.
So I don't know. I've been at schools. I mean, I've taught in multiple states. I feel like that happens. I feel like people go in and they're like, they know that somebody else is leaving. They go, hey, can I get this stuff? And the new teacher maybe doesn't get enough, even like textbooks. I can remember new teachers not getting all the textbooks that they needed, you know, I'm talking like back late 90s, whatever. And, I'm not that kind of a person, so I would always try and find them for them or whatever. Like I think that one of the coolest things, and I might have told you this on Voxer, was I thought that one of the things that I liked
was that a sound effect, John?
That was somebody just followed us on Blab, so that was that sound effect. Sorry, but I really like helping new teachers. I think it's a cool thing. I really wish like Tim Bedley, like Father Tim, I could go in and, like teach college, like preparatory. I feel like college preparation for teaching is lacking. Don't you feel, and I feel like the two of us, I feel like we could do a pretty fair job of helping teachers get prepared and be a little bit more real about it. You know, that's kind of one of the things I feel.
Yeah, you know, if you and I were teaching all the new teachers in the world, everything would be perfect, John. That's a great solution.
I'm not saying that, but I feel like there are some people that have been around a little bit. Like when I heard that Tim was teaching, college, I was happy for him. I think that those are good. It always helps me when I feel like people are getting there, like Jeremy McDonald, when I hear he's becoming an IT director, or Rafranz Davis, and she's becoming an IT director, and or Jenny Majera, when she's becoming an IT director. I feel like when we start to get
where's
at least
that edgy famous gong, we need
edgy famous gong. But I feel like when you get these people in the better positions, I feel like that helps education as a whole. And I always liked like mentoring new teachers and getting like a new person to kind of help along. But I was telling you, as I told you in Voxer too, you can tell some of the ones that are going to make it and some of the ones that are just like, oh, I don't know if you're cut out for this, you know? And I don't know if are you supposed to be honest with them? Or are you going to nurture them? I mean, I don't know. I think one of the biggest things that I remember from my first year of teacher, and I owe all those kids an apology, is classroom management. I think classroom management is the hardest thing to learn.
Go ahead. Go ahead and apologize right now.
I'm sorry, all you 25, 26-year-olds in Las Vegas and Clark County that I let down. I'm so sorry. I talked to some of them on Facebook. One of them said, oh, yeah, I remember you. You're the guy that drank a lot of Mountain Dew and liked Michael Jordan. I'm like, oh, there you go. Look, true that. And I'm still representing. So there you go.
Hey, just John, I want to make sure that your mic doesn't touch your T-shirt, because it's good.
We get the sound effects going. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do feel like new teachers, I mean, it's a beginning of the school year. All right, so let's just go all good. Teachers. Beginning of the school year, we're starting on Monday. Okay, it'll be our first like week of in-service before the kids come. Don't you feel like in Texas they always had a lemonade social on Friday where you'd meet the parents, so your room had to be set up, but they never gave Monday is all day meeting. Tuesday is this meeting, you get like a half day. Wednesday is like meetings and then, you know, mandatory blah blah blah. Thursday was convocation where everybody would get together and we'd do like big cheers and stuff in Texas. And then you could come back on Thursday afternoon, but then Friday morning, bam, you had to have your room done. When are you supposed to get that done? And you're sitting there in these meetings, some of them, and you're like, oh my gosh, can I please just go work in my room? I really just want to go work in my room. But more importantly, not even get your room set up, just talk with the team that you're going to work with and try and get a system going. You don't hardly have any time to do that stuff. And so that's veteran teachers. New teachers, I think I would just be sitting there like, oh, I have so much stuff to do. Bloodborne pathogen training. This is, oh my gosh, I have to report to Child Protective Services if there's, you know, wrongdoings, you know, if I suspect
mandatory
a beating.
Reporting.
Right. I mean, it's just so much for them. And I don't know. It's a lot for anybody.
Now, I know my dad's school used to have like a new teacher binder that they would give to the new teachers that would kind of go over a lot of these things. And I don't know if that happens out there or if that was an unusual thing. Every school that I went to, and I transferred around to a few schools just because I wanted new experiences, was like, it was usually just, you just had to figure it out, figure everything out. Like, so it's not always that easy when you are either new to a site, new to teaching. Oh my gosh. And this job, John, I just think it just keeps getting harder and harder each year. And
that's because we keep getting older and older. But
I would just think it would get easier, right? You figure it out. And then, but no, I think the demands of the job are just incredible. And the amount of pressure and accountability and everything that goes along with being a teacher nowadays is just, it's just rough.
And I mean, we're in a serious shortage right now of teachers. I mean, people aren't becoming teachers.
No, and you know, did you guys have this account? So in California, we have this thing called BITSA, Beginning Teacher Support thing. And it's supposed to...
Wait, what is it? It's BITSA?
BTSA, like Beginning Teacher Support and Assistance or something. I forget what the actual...
That's because if you go into teaching, you only have bits of your sanity left. That's why.
So originally, though, John, this thing started out as a way to help support teachers. And so you get to go to other classrooms as a new teacher and observe veteran teachers. You had a veteran teacher mentor to walk you along your first few years of teaching, not your student teaching years, your first few years of teaching, in the thought that this would bring you to a place that would keep you in the profession, right? So now the state gets a hold of it, right? So now it's like thousands of dollars to do the training. You have like all these papers and portfolios and all this junk paperwork to get through, and it's driving people out of teaching. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I don't know if you guys have anything like that in Texas or up in Oregon now, but that's our California solution to keep people in teaching is give them more work.
Right. And that's what I feel like. I feel like a good administrator, this is where we need Kurt Reese on the show, but I feel like a good administrator shields their teachers from the busy work that the district might provide, you know, and I feel like they have to be kind of like the nozzle, the spigot on the fire hose, and be like, okay, here comes all this information. I think this is important, and this I'm going to try and ignore or whatever and decide what's important and just give people directives that they think are the most important that, you know, need to get done. Because I mean, those directives can come bam, 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 all throughout the year. And it's, I don't know, but that's what I feel like a good administrator does. I've known a few, and the good administrators
clear the stuff out of the way and just let you teach.
Right. And kind of get out of your way. If they feel like you're doing a good job, let you go. I've got other things to attend to, but I'm not going to bog you down with all this mundane information. And I've had some administrators that just don't have that filter and then just give you everything. I can remember one time in Alaska, we went into there and it was like 7:30 on Wednesdays. Well, you know, in the morning was our staff meeting. So we'd have an hour of staff meeting. You'd have to get there a half hour early. Everybody moaned and groaned. But I remember
they provide time, breakfast or anything?
No.
What?
No, because she was a horrible administrator.
Not even donut holes?
No. She's lucky. If you walked in a minute late, she'd probably fine you.
By the way, my newest obsession is to find gluten-free donuts. I don't know why. That's just...
I almost went over and saw Allison today and went and got some Pips donuts. They have some excellent matcha for green tea, I've heard. But yeah, and she talked about bird flu, Scott. That's what she did. I remember one specifically, an hour on like maybe bird flu would be coming to Alaska, and like the sky is falling. And I'm like, wow. I remember looking across at my teaching partner and going, wow, she's really lost it.
And then the following year she did East Nile virus.
I mean, that was probably the following week. I mean, she was just, oh man, she's horrible. Wow. Of course, she's in upper management now. Because that's what I always feel like. I always feel like the people that do bad jobs, they kind of go, oh boy, this person's got tenure. All right, let's move them up the ladder so they have less impact on kids. They end up having more impact because they're working, you know. Oh, it's funny. What does that say about me, though? I'm working at the district office level 2 now.
Okay, so what else from the beginning of the school year could be torn away that's unnecessary, that's not needed, that would clear the way for teachers to be able to spend the time on what they should be spending the time on. And that's, you know, it's, hey, it's 1 o'clock now. I can't even speak. I apologize.
No, I mean, right. No, I mean, it doesn't matter. I feel like sometimes that's the thing too. I think that you need to have meetings, but I mean, I think that if you don't, I mean, I can go into time and time again, like the productivity of meetings. I like meetings that are short. We have an agenda. It's to the point. We're not talking about, we're not philosophizing about like how education should be. Let's get some answers and some solutions, things we can change, some positive steps. But I think that sometimes, I mean, when we would go in Texas, you know, that whole first day, it's going to be all day meeting. It's going to be from 8 until 3:30. And you're just like, how about we break that up a little bit or something? And I don't think anybody is listening to anything, you know, after about 10 o'clock at that point. You know, you just want to kind of meet and socialize a little bit. You haven't seen everybody over the summer. But I think the way that you do it is give the teachers some meetings and some, but let them meet as a team and start planning.
Yeah.
And start planning out things for the year. I mean, you don't get a lot of time during the year. So I feel like that's, and the, when do districts expect you to do it? On your own time. And that's what they, I mean, that's, it's the hidden expectation. And,
John, I have one of the, I have one of the good ones out there, and there's a lot of good administrators, but he recognized that he wanted to do some team building activities. Day one, we're bowling.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awesome.
We did a scavenger hunt one year and then went out for Mexican food. It was fun. It was fun. It kind of builds the momentum then. Instead of doing the all-day meeting, we did a 2 hours worth of meeting, scavenger hunt, came back at the ate lunch, came back at the end of the day, and saw who got all the scavenger hunt stuff.
Yeah.
And right, we were just put together in random teams. So it wasn't like fourth grade is this team, fifth grade is this team. It was people from all over the school. And I think I thought that was cool. I liked that. Yeah, I like changing it up a little bit. You can't do like, we know we're going to come in. It's the 20th year of our teaching. We're going to have an all-day meeting, the bloodborne pathogen, mandatory reporting of child abuse.
Supervision duty schedules.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I think that, I think just time to work together. And I, sometimes I don't mind the meet and greet, like the lemonade social. I like doing that, but I don't know why it has to be in the room sometimes, you know, like the kids, like we had like pre-bought school supplies, and sometimes the kids, you'd be talking to a parent, then you turn your back and the kids are ripping open the school supplies and shoving it. And you're like, no, don't, you know, not yet. That's the first day. So I don't know. I wouldn't mind if we just like went out on the playground and parents, you had a big name tag and parents came up to you and said, hey, how are you doing? And you could meet somewhere where the kids were, could interact a little bit, and the kids could kind of meet up too, instead of in the room where you're trying frantically to clean it up. I mean, if you would have been a parent and opened one of my closets on some of those lemonade socials, you would have been overwhelmed with all the stuff that would have fallen on top of you. Cause at a point you just get frantic and you just shove stuff in there. And so then
lemons.
You're coming to school, right? And then you're coming into school and you're just like, I didn't get anything organized even.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make a mess to like kind of clean up all the stuff from the prior year.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like you ever even have that opportunity then, unless you spend extra time on your own. And I would say probably 99 times out of 100 I did, except for the 1 year, you know, where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it this year, you know, but then you just hurt yourself and you hurt your students in the long run. So you don't do it that way. I don't know. Interesting stuff though. Beginning of the year, and you're already like 5 weeks in. My first day is in 2 days.
Yeah. I start vacation in a few weeks, John.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. You like that? Do you like that schedule?
Oh, I love the schedule.
Yeah.
Hey, John, did I tell you about my snoring pillow?
You did, but it, you know what?
It got cut out.
Do you have it there? It got cut out of our last podcast because Jake ruined it.
I don't have it here.
All right. Well, so when we first did our blab, we brought Jake Duncan in, and I couldn't put it up. And Jake Duncan is awesome, but we just could not put that episode up. So it's interesting.
I love that voiceover that you did on there, by the way.
Did you hear that already? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
What else do I have to do?
Yeah, and we had David. I hope that David Beatty will listen. David in Norway, right?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I think what we'll do is we'll start pulling people in if they're watching the show and they want to participate a little bit. We'll vet you first, though. We need to know you're not a crazy person. So that eliminates.
No, that might not be too bad either, John.
No, no. That eliminates 95% of the teachers, though. So, you know, have to. And we're crazy anyway.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Speaking of crazy, so let me tell everybody this pillow story. Can I tell it again?
Yeah, once the pillow story was comic gold last time.
Was it? So I have this problem with snoring, John.
No.
Yeah, I don't know why. God bless my mother-in-law. She found out somehow, and she bought me this.
Yeah, pillow. I don't know how she found out.
She found this pillow. I don't know where she found this thing. All of a sudden, like I go up to go to sleep, and there's this thing, and it's like hard as a rock on the underside, and it's kind of got that, you know, that memory foam on the top, mm-hmm. and it's got power buttons on the side and stuff. I'm like, what in the world is this pillow all about? So it has like a sound sensor. So every time that you snore, there's like a balloon type of a thing inside your snoring triggers a pump and it pumps the pillow. It's supposed to like nudge you. It's supposed to be like a gentle nudging to stop the snoring. Well, number one is your head, it like pushes your head into a worse position to snore louder. And number two, the pump is like really loud, John. It sounds like you're listening, like you're at the gas station and somebody has just done their tires and you know, that air pump sound, that's like priming it up for the next air. It's like, that's what my pillow sounds like now.
Is it like this?
So I don't snore.
Yeah. Is that how you sound like Chewbacca?
So I don't snore anymore because I can't sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now you're all tired and lethargic all day. I think you should just listen to a little George Michael before you go to bed.
I think that makes one of the best punk songs right there. You just speed that thing up.
Oh, yeah. We should get Terrio on that, huh?
Careless Whisper.
Minor Threat, Careless Whisper. You know what? Don't say that. That's how Fred Durst got his start, right? Covering the new metal covers of George Michael songs.
Yeah, I would die.
Thank you, George Michael, for giving us Limp Bizkit. That treasure of musical talent. Oh man. Well, I don't have a snoring sound effect on the I button. I'll get the sound effects together. Don't worry. Yeah. I could have done that right well.
Speaking of snoring, just in, John.
Just in. Father Tim.
He just woke up and he's watering his kale. We know he does that at the nighttime. But he's also on this new regiment of survival. So he only sleeps for an hour at a time, and then he'll wake up and do some survival activities, mm-hmm. and then he'll go back to sleep for an hour. He's trying to train his body in case he has to be in the survival mode so that let's say he's out in the wilderness or whatever, he can sleep for short times, but then work really fast and then sleep for short times, and thus like preserving that energy. He got a letter. What's that? It's like Man versus Wilderness. He's been asked to come on that show, and it's – like this guy, he has made a turn into this whole survival piece, and it's just awesome. And I just can't wait to see what he does in his classroom with survival stuff, because I think it's going to be powerful.
I know. I think he gets up. He has to get up and check. Well, he has to check the radar to see if there's any whales that are in need of assistance, so that he can jump out there into the ocean, swim out to them, and help them.
Yeah, he can crate
the dolphins. Yeah. Oh, Father Tim. Yeah, well, you know what? I've heard the best time to lightly mist your kale is 1:15 in the morning. So that's why he's up right now.
Especially in California, because otherwise it evaporates away within moments.
Right, right. You can't be doing that right now in Texas. It's 3:15 already. You already missed the prime time. You know, it's like the golden hour to take a picture. So anyway, but I don't know. I'm looking forward, Scott, to just a good school year. I'm interested to meet my new boss on Monday. I mean, I've met him, but I mean, this will be like the official. Is he gonna tighten his grip on us and rein us in, or is he gonna let us fly free like little birds? like Nelly Furtado. We don't know, but I'm interested. And we'll see. I think he's going to be a good guy.
I think you're going to be like a bird.
Yeah, I'll only fly away.
Yeah, only.
I really don't know where my office is. I don't know where my office is. They're redecorating it. It doesn't have any Wi-Fi, so I'm not going to work there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay. They're like, you can move in now. I said, I don't really have a lot of stuff. And I'm like, does it have Wi-Fi? No, not yet. And I'm like, well, then I won't be going there anytime soon. I have to work.
So, John, I heard recently that you dropped a bunch of money at Costco. Is that true?
Yeah, I dropped almost two bills today, and then two bills at Walmart, too.
Oh,
yeah. That's the old quadruple bill. Well, you know what happened? And I don't know if have we talked about the California Teacher Summit?
It's on the lost episode, I think.
It's on the lost episode? Well, so I'll have to put up the lost episodes, but California Teacher Summit not only sent me my money, so I dropped that real quick, but and it was just I thought it was nice of them to give a little stipend to us, especially because I had to drive
hundreds of miles. Since when is $6,000 a little stipend, John? What's up with that?
Oh, was it $6,000 for everybody else? I got a fraction of that. But you know what the coolest thing was is that
Do you ever do that with gifts? You're like, what did you get? Oh, I got $1,000. What did you get? Oh, only 100. No.
My mom likes me 90% less than she likes you. You know, that's what you can assume by the gifts. No. But the coolest thing was they gave me, two EdCamp stickers in there, which will go promptly onto my new cover of my MacBook. So I was very excited about that.
Is that the cover you got at ISTE?
Yeah, the purple cover I got at ISTE, my Prince cover, exactly.
I don't have a cover from ISTE.
Did you tell me about the free cases at ISTE, or was that somebody else?
We went over there together, and they did.
Who was your friend that told us about that?
God,
who did tell us about that?
Was that Christina Luce? I don't know.
No, I don't think it was Christina Luce, but she'll be happy that I'm actually uploading episodes now of Grumpy Old Teachers. Hey, Christina Lewis, we know you're listening.
She was pretty angry that you stopped, John. I got to tell you.
I was pretty angry I stopped too, but sometimes you just need to stop for your own sanity, Scott Bentley. Sometimes August was a month of solitude for me. I retired to the fortress of podcasting solitude.
So John, this is something that's coming up soon. It's testing. Are you going to opt your kids out this year? I'm just curious.
So, you know, I have to.
Can you do that in Oregon, or do they force you?
Anywhere, right. Except you can't do it in like Puerto Rico or Guam because you don't even, you know, you can't opt out there. Have you seen the John Oliver piece on the territories of the United States and how I wasn't even aware of this. But that shows you how much they sweep it under the carpet. Were you aware that they don't even get like equal voting rights, even though like Puerto Rico flies
right
an American flag? And he did this. I love watching the John Oliver thing. I know that we went over the one about standardized testing.
We did.
And we went over that backwards.
I'm John,
sorry. But
I have four words for you.
Okay. What are they?
Bring on the monkey.
But yeah, it was interesting to watch. Like you were talking about, like American Samoa and places like that. American Samoa gets it like the worst. They're like on their passport. This guy was showing his passport. It doesn't. It's like he's an American national. It doesn't even like they have a disclaimer on their passport.
He plays for the team.
No, I mean that's what it says on his passport. He's like, I find it insulting.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, I would find that a little bit insulting too. And it's some law that was made like 114 years ago for a temporary time.
What does Victoria Olsen get on her?
Yeah. Well, she's got like a full-blooded American because that's what she is. And in fact, on her Canadian passport, it says, no, go see America.
America.
Yeah, go see America. Oh, man. So it's pretty funny. All right, so I totally forgot what I was talking about. But
you were talking about what you got at Walmart today.
So we got the school supplies. We always feel that Walmart's the cheapest place for school supplies. So we got the kids almost all their school
supplies. Can you write off school supplies on taxes? You should be able to if you can't yet.
I don't think so. I think we can. Don't you always declare your teacher expenditures?
Oh, yeah, but I mean your kids' school supplies. They should do something like that.
That's your fatherly duty. But we got some school supplies. I got a new belt. That's nice.
Well, good for you, John.
Oh, my gosh. I could show you my belt right now that I've been wearing for, like, the last – I wore that thing into the ground. It's like it squeaks when I walk now. Well, because number one, my gut has been expanding over the course of the life of the belt. But then it's just like screaming in pain. It goes, squeak, squeak.
I blame the belt for your gut, John.
That's right. It's our belt. You're supposed to tighten it up.
It's supposed to hold that thing in.
Oh man, but yeah, so that nothing much.
So did you go with the full weight belt? That's what Tim wears.
Well, I was thinking that I wanted to be a little bit more in shape the next time I saw Tim face to face, so I did get some Spanx. That's what I got.
That's going to help you be more shaped.
Yeah, I figured I could just sweat it off then, you know, it'll pull me in a little bit.
Is that Taylor Swift song?
Is that a Taylor Swift song?
Sweat it off. Sweat it off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Sorry. It's Shake It Off. That's right.
Oh.
My bad.
I thought it was Smelly Cat.
Sweat It Off.
Sweat It Off. Sweat It Off.
She's been playing down here for like a month in Los Angeles. I don't even know how many days. I had a teacher that, yeah, I know five. But I had one of the teachers I teach with went, and who shows up? Justin Timberlake.
Now that's a pair that is just rocking the house there.
And then they gave cards to the entire audience. It was amazing. Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh.
That's crushing it.
Yeah. Well, Taylor Swift, what I do like about Taylor Swift is whenever she goes places, she usually does a nice little cover song of somebody that's like regional that's from there.
Yeah.
I like what she does. She does do that a lot.
She's
Smelly Cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody! Smelly Cat, it's not your fault.
There we go. That's taken live from the Taylor Swift concert, too, by the way.
You know what? And I'm amazed that Phoebe actually came to the concert.
No, that's, I mean, yeah, I saw Chris Rock there one night.
Okay.
Oh, and Joey from Friends. Taylor Swift must like Friends.
You think so?
I guess. I mean, it's got to be so much older than. I mean, what would reruns, she have been?
Reruns.
Yeah, I guess the reruns. Well, I was reading this article the other day that said.
Speaking of rerun.
This just in. Speaking of rerun, Father Tim just rewatered his kale because he heard that if you water it back at 10 minutes later, it gets even fresher and more vitamins.
It does. It definitely does. And. You know, how can you start a day without fresh kale smoothie?
That's right. But I was reading I saw an article that just said that Friends was one of the series that doesn't hold up over time very well at all. Like just like the comedy and the themes and things like that.
Are you saying it's like the Gomer Pyle of the 90s?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Hogan's Heroes of the 90s, but I was reading it and it made sense once they read it back a little bit, you know, just like the characters and I don't know.
Anyone but, under 35 is like, what's Gomer Pyle?
Gomer Pyle. What's Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know. We're so old.
We were having this conversation around the lunch table about like the Sid and Marty Krofft things Sigmund and the Sea Monster and some of those shows we were getting all into. It was like a debate. It was great.
Well, this will show you how much different the 70s were. When I was in elementary school, you would get an hour for lunch. You could walk home. And so you'd walk home and you'd have like an hour. And I walked about a mile actually. You know, it was a seven
uphill both ways.
No. Over the expressway, I'm a city kid, and we used to watch Banana Splits. I think that's Sid Krofft too. Like, you ever remember? Do you ever watch the Banana Splits La 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 yeah. la la la.
They did so that was on at lunchtime. Shows. So many.
And then
shows.
Right, and then the other thing was like I remember I used to watch like Wacky Races.
Okay.
And that was I think that was like Hanna-Barbera too, but that was the Wacky Racers were like they would just race all the time and get it, and like somebody would win one dime, and you know they had the same
that
characters.
Was Hanna-Barbera. Yeah, the Wacky Races. Yeah, they had like the one gorilla guy, and yeah.
And then there's always the evil dude, but yeah.
And the dog that laughs like.
Well, then you would come home and you'd watch the Great Babe, or is that one of them? Great Babe,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's interesting to think about how in the 70s, as an 8-year-old, I could walk a mile back home, eat lunch, and come back. And then I remember what we used to do was, and this goes with Global School Play Day, is we would eat from 12 to 12:10. And then at 12:10, you could hang around until 12:20 in the lunchroom, or you could book out at 12:10, and then you could go play for 50 minutes, and we'd get some awesome, like, football, softball, kickball, whatever sport, basketball, whatever sport was, you know, seasonal at that time. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd go play. And in the wintertime when there's snow on the ground, oh, man, playing football. I know that from the OC, you don't know that stuff, but
well I've seen movies of it, so
yeah. You just watch Lucas. We talked about Lucas last time. I don't know if that made it on the show or not, but
I don't think it did.
Lucas, no.
I, you know what was on tonight that reminded me of you, John, is Ferris Bueller,
and it was, I was watching that a little bit on VH1, yeah.
And it just I turned to my wife. I'm like, hey, see how they're rewinding the car, trying to take the miles off the car. Mm-hmm. John Samuelson did that. He tried that too, and it worked out about the same for him.
Yeah, it pretty much did work out the same. Did she believe you that I did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay, that's good. At least my reputation is
intact.
Is intact at the Bedley household because, yeah, I mean, I did do that, and it worked. That's the thing; it worked. You know, my mom will never forgive me for that. Never forgive me. It's like hashtag never forget on that, and you're just like, let it go. The funny thing was, this is what I still say. I'm not going to like take away the blame for it or anything. Mm-hmm. Plus, Scott, let's think about this for a second.
Okay.
I was working, and you know what concert that I drove it to? That was the main reason that I took it. Do you know what concert I drove it to? The Beastie Boys Run DMC Tougher Than Leather tour.
Wow.
So I went to go, I took it to the Rosemont, or drove it out to the Rosemont Horizon. I was working all, I was working 45 hours a week, 45, 50 hours a week. I just wanted to go see a concert with my homies, Run DMC and Beastie Boys.
Yeah, wearing your Adidas?
Of course. I was probably wearing a VW chain that I took off with somebody too, you know, but, yeah, and what a great concert. I mean, two of the greatest rap groups of all time right there. It wasn't like I went to go see Albie Shore and
Egyptian,
you know,
Lover.
Orin Juice Jones, you know, which I've seen both of them in concert too, but that's what I'm saying. So it was if she had just said, you know, okay, see you later, we're going out of town, and then just, you know, she didn't have to tell me she wrote down the mileage, like wake me up and tell me. She could have just let me fry then. She could have come back and said, hey, I wrote down the mileage. You drove the car, bam, you're grounded. And then nothing would have ever happened. But because she made it like a little dare, Ferris Bueller happened. The police came and thought I was trying to commit suicide.
John, this is a harrowing story. Everyone's tell the story now. Tell the story.
Well, the story.
See, look at that. The feed over on the side. Tell the story.
The story just goes, I drove the car about 200 miles, and I had to take 200 miles off. She was coming back that day, jacked up the car, just like Ferris Bueller, put in a scraper. Car was going about 35 miles an hour, so I did the math and figured about 7 hours later I would come back and look at the car. Came back. There's a big note on the door from the police that said, we were in your garage. It's, by the way, it's illegal to take miles off your car like that, in case you're wondering at home. It did work, though. Like, it did work on my odometer.
Back in the day.
It did work back in the day on the, you know, yeah, on the old Mitsubishi. But, yeah, so I came back. They had big notes on there. So I went into the garage. I didn't hear the sound anymore. And the exhaust was tremendous. And I can see why they thought I was trying to kill myself. And little known fact, if a car doesn't have like weight to pull while it's reversing, on a stick shift car, that will really heat up the stick shift and turn it into basically tapioca pudding at that point. And then the oil will leak all over the garage. And you're not getting rid of that. You're not getting rid of that in 3 hours. So I did what any good natured 17-year-old kid would do and hid at my girlfriend's house until my mom found me.
That is awesome.
I just was like, I can't even clean this up. I'm done. And then I had to pay $750 to get it fixed.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Hey, John, should we do a – probably not this show because we're too far into it, but should we do like a predictions for the new school year show?
Sure. All right, predictions. Okay. Yeah. I've got some predictions. All right, so you were talking just our world that we control, or we're talking about the whole
– Oh, yeah, just the whole everything.
Oh, the whole everything.
Okay. Well, education mainly, right? But okay. You could throw in like a Chicago Bulls prediction if you'd like.
Okay, for this coming school year, okay, I predict that Arne Duncan will be even less efficient this year. As the
that is shocking.
You know what? I predict that the whatever administration is currently in power or will come into power will completely ignore the educational system. Okay. There's my prediction. And not understand it at
I'm
all.
I'm gonna predict a technology backlash.
Ooh, technology backlash, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna predict that every year until it happens.
Well, I just tweeted out something, and I predict that I think that the iPads. All right, so I predict now, if you're an early adopter, your iPad 2s are coming to the end of life this year,
yeah.
And that they're pretty much going to be Netflix viewers by the end of the year. Like you're not going to know. They're basically just now cameras and. That's what they'll be. They'll turn into what my iPod Touches turned into after the iPad was invented.
Yeah.
Cameras, and that's about it, and listening stations.
So are you saying, like, Oculus is going to take over for iPads? Is that what
you're saying? I'm going to say Cardboard. Yeah, Google Cardboard will take over the world. Virtual reality will take over the world. This will be the year that virtual reality...
Kids bumping into walls. Right. Teachers confused that kids can't, like... enjoy regular classroom structures anymore.
I predict this is what virtual reality will look like this year. Ready? It'll be me. Here you go. I'm going like this.
If you, and those of you that are listening, is John.
Great.
Those of you that are listening, John's twisting around in a jerking motion with his phone in front of his face.
Totally obnoxiously too.
Yes.
So yeah, I predict that this is the year that virtual reality will be, hey, I can color a page and then it comes to life. And then what happens next? I don't know. But where's the learning? It doesn't matter, Scott. The kids are engaged.
That's right, John.
You gave me high five for that one.
I do think it is the year of engagement through non-essential things.
I don't care what happens as long as the kids are engaged. That's all.
Did I tell you about – I haven't talked to you about Ed Camp OC yet, have I?
Oh, no. Let's hear – all right, that's a good way to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up with a little Ed Camp OC talk. I always like a little talk about Elizabeth Gould. she's awesome. Like such a nice person.
She's going to fourth grade this year, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm Elizabeth Gould. If you are still talk to you. Yeah, I'm going to have to give you some pointers. Fourth, that's my grade right there. That's my wheelhouse.
So Ed Camp OC was cool, man. It was there was a lot of good people there. We were missing a few people that you would typically see at a OC event, like David Terrio, because there was a Q rock star deal going on the same day. But there was a good number of new people, John. I would say when we polled the group, 85% maybe were new to Ed Camp, which
wow,
I know And it was full. It was a lot of people there. The sessions were good. There was a good session. Sean Zebarth and I were just goofing around all day.
No.
Which was really
You're kidding.
Which was really fun. Sean's amazing. Let's see. There was just, you know, people drove up from San Diego, people drove down from LA, people drove in from
Long Beach.
All different parts. Yeah, of Southern California for it. Long Beach. It was cool.
You know what? I heard somebody from Long Beach was driving back, and they wrote a little song about it, and they went, there's so much drama at Ed Camp OC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. So do you have Snoop there? Was Snoop at Camp OC?
You know, he wasn't. I was going to go somewhere with it, and I just didn't.
What happened with his kid? His kid isn't going to UCLA now? What's he doing?
Give me the
honest to goodness Southern California news. We don't have that up in here at the Pacific Northwest. All I heard was withdraw from UCLA, which is your team, by the way, right? UCLA.
Yeah.
Isn't UCLA your team?
UCLA is my team.
Okay, so Snoop's kid goes there. He's gone. Where's Mr. Brodus?
I think UCLA was determined to find a way to
sabotage.
Sabotage
their season.
John.
Oh, man.
Well, the scoop down here is that USC was really, really upset that Snoop, who's been a USC supporter in the past, sent his son over there. And so there was payoffs going on.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. That's all alleged, by the way.
I heard he just couldn't stand it. I heard he couldn't stand it. I know USC planned it. I'm going to set it straight, this Snoop Gate. But
we can't mix your rap there. That was a Beastie Boys.
Hey, I can do whatever I want. I was freestyling.
Your rap analogies?
I was freestyling. The last movie I saw was Straight Outta Compton. Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
Oh, I'm dying to see that.
I thought that was how this was going to end.
I know.
After Ed Camp OC, you guys were all going to go to Straight Outta Compton.
You know, we ended up going over with a guy named Brent who has a EdTech TV, I think is the name of his podcast.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, super good guy. And Greg Smith, who's one of my favorite people down here in Southern California, along with Sean, getting to hang out with those guys is just fantastic. But we went over to this place called 4th Street Market, and it's this kind of indoor place with all these small shop, but they're food shops, and the food was just incredible. And so we just ended up saying, let's not go to the movies. Let's just eat a lot of really good food.
You guys are such... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it because I don't want to get racial on here, but you guys are such white people. I'll just say it. I'm going to eat and I'm not going to go see the movie Straight Outta Compton, which, by the way, was number one 2 weeks in a row. I wonder if it was number one this week, too. It's still going.
Well, we had to eat, so.
You guys went and saw Straight Outta Van Nuys.
No, we were in Santa Ana.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, John, you're in Orange County, we're going to go to the 4th Street Market, and you'll change your story on that one. You'll be like, oh, yeah, Straight Outta Compton, you could have waited till it comes out on DVD.
And Liz Netflix, that is watching all of a sudden goes, why is that a white thing in the chat? Oh, see, you can't make it racial. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
You know what I think it is? I think it's a lazy old guy thing is what I think. They're like, oh yeah. I don't know, eating a bunch of food. I don't know. I just see that as
John. Let me tell you what we're eating. So I had
sushi.
This bowl. No, I could have got sushi because there's a little sushi shop.
I really want some sushi.
I had this Thai Mexican like fusion food, and it was fantastic. It was this bowl that had chorizo rice and steamed rice, half and half. It had carne asada. It had pork belly. It had a fried egg on top. And it had this amazing Thai green salsa-y sauce blend fusion that was just ridiculous, dude. And I would go back there and eat it right now if it was open.
Man, that does sound good. I might have stayed there too. I'd have eaten that and been like, okay, I don't want to move.
you wouldn't have wanted.
You know what? You have to. I think you should go see Straight Outta Compton, though. This is like right in our wheelhouse. Like,
no, I do. I want to see it.
I think that. It's just that's one of the. Remember when we were going over CDs and stuff? That I mean, that's one of my ones where I feel like they could play the songs and I just knew all the words and it just kind of, you know, flowed together and, you know,
all of it.
And I don't know.
It's definitely a movie that I will not miss. It was just a matter of, you know, I want to experience with some friends and so we could talk about it afterwards only because it was so influential. That was easy for me to say.
It was influential.
Influential. It was.
You're inventing words now.
Yeah, it's 1:40 a.m. By the way, those of you that are listening at 8 a.m. on your commute somewhere, or Tim running, it's in the afternoon for
running.
You. Yeah, wow, it's 1:42 a.m. on a Sunday morning. It was influential. Like that whole era, that music, the shift from rock to rap to like fusion of rock and rap, all of the stuff that was going on was, I hate to get all nostalgic about the 80s, but gosh, it was awesome.
So Liz says, weren't you guys talking about education? I said we were, but we get easily distracted. We were. Yeah. I don't know, Liz. We were. It's 9:30 a.m. where she is. Liz, where are you at right now? Why don't you type in the chat, where are you at?
You'll have to listen to some of the other episodes because Liz, we kind of bounce around like a morning talk show between education and just culture and different things like and silly stuff like food.
Yeah, we're UK, you guys are cool in the UK. We're just Americans and, you know, Americans, we're just not that cool. Oh, boy. But, yeah, I don't know. It was a good movie. I went and saw it by myself, so then I really didn't have any time to, like, talk to anybody about it. It's sad that I don't have any of my friends from high school that I could really like that we used to listen to Straight Outta Compton with. But it was good. I love Ice Cube.
You're being an Americanist.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't want to be anti-American. We want to be patriotic and God bless America.
Oh, Canada. On guard we stand for
you. I know, I'm really close to Canada. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to the school year. We'll see if our predictions come. Do we really make any school predictions or no?
Yeah, no, I really believe there's...
Scott Bedley will see Straight Outta Compton this year.
I just want to see Boyhood. That's all I want to see.
I would like to see... That is a movie. I would like you to see Boyhood so we could talk about it. And
I'm afraid I'm going to get overly emotional and start crying and stuff, John.
Yeah.
I cried in Nemo.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started. The first 10 minutes of Up. Oh, my gosh. Fawcett. Oh, my gosh. That's so sad. Do you remember the... Did you see Up?
I saw Up. I have seen Up, yeah.
The flashback of his life in the beginning, you're crying within the first 15 minutes. I'm like, Disney, come on. You're supposed to at least wait till the end for me or something.
Yeah, just crushers. They just crush you.
Yeah, they do. That was like you're watching. You just want to go home and like play with your kids after that. You're like, oh, my God. That poor guy, he couldn't have kids.
Squirrel.
All they want to do. Squirrel. Yeah. That's actually the best part of the movie, too. That's like see, Liz, that's us right there. We're like the squirrel of educational podcasts.
We're the up dog. What's the dog's name again?
I don't know. I gotta watch that again. I like that. I just like that name, the up dog. What's up, dog?
The up dog.
Well, so I do want to say that we will be tech landing a little bit more. And as Liz, listen to this. Okay. So Scott does a podcast with his brother, Tim, that we make fun of, but we don't make fun of him that much because he's just, we make fun of him because we're insecure and he's a much better person than we are.
Absolutely.
And exercises and does everything.
John, be sure to edit this correct. Out.
Yeah. Let's edit that out. Now that he's exercising, he just fell off his treadmill when he was listening to that one. Squirrel. But tell us, Scott, you were bragging about the Bedley Brothers guest coming up. Oh, I was bragging. We were bragging to each other on Voxer. Sometimes we have to brag in private to ourselves. But I would like to hear about the Bedley Brothers podcast and the guests that are coming. Who are you most excited about, or give us the ones that you're all excited about?
Oh, there's a lot. Kevin Carroll's coming on to talk about play and Global School Play Day connected to that. We got Dr. Tony Wagner that's coming on to talk about innovation. We have probably the one that I'm most like, wow, I can't believe he's coming on the show is Dr. John Hattie. So to get a chance to talk to someone who I consider like an education icon, it's just mind-blowing. And then Dr. Tony Wagner, too, he's right up there with him.
I thought you were going to – both those times, I thought you were going to do a straight out of Compton and say Dr. Dre's coming on.
Dr. Dre. I can't wait to talk to Dr. Dre.
I was like, how did you
– we're sponsored by Beats now. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
We got three of the National Teachers of the Year that are going to be on one show coming on to have a kind of a roundtable about education and what's right and what's wrong. And, gosh, we got Catherine Applegate, the Newbery Award-winning author, is coming on to talk about her new book. We've got Jenny Holm and her brother just released a book, I think August 22nd, and she's going to come on, and we're going to talk to her about co-authoring and how that works, especially with a family member. Mm-hmm. Tim and I are trying to write a book. I'm just kidding.
What's it gonna, I think you guys should write a book, and it could be you going, like, how can I live up to my older brother's expectations when he's just like, he sets the bar this high, and then we're both kind of like down here a little bit. So
yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. What time? All right. So Liz wants to know, what time in the UK are you running the Bedley Brothers? Can you convert that to UK time? All right. So wait, we can, because she just told us what time it was. It's 9:30 there. So they're 8 hours ahead of us. So what time would it be in the UK when you do the Bedley Brothers if she was watching live?
This will be confusing for me because John Hattie is in Australia and he's like 13 hours behind. So we're at 10:30 p.m. with him and he's 3:30 the day after.
And, oh yeah, the Australia time gets fun.
And so I don't know where you'd be.
Yeah. Just 8 hours. But when are you doing it for you? You're doing it. She's 8 hours ahead.
10:30 p.m. on September 7th.
Yeah, so that is. So let me do the math. Is that 6:30 in the morning for her?
Yeah, and then most of our shows we run around 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock p.m.
So it's like midnight your time, Liz.
Yeah, but it's all recorded. It's all released on podcast. You can listen to them. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. John's show, Techlandia, is on iTunes and Stitcher.
She's
and
totally confused, though. Yeah, so am I. I really am. We don't know anything.
You asked for math conversions at 1:50 in the morning.
We don't even use the metric system here. How messed up are we?
Yeah, how many inches away are we?
How many miles away are you, Liz? We don't even know. I mean, you don't know because you don't use miles. Oh man. So anyway, but yeah, so Scott has the Bedley Brothers. Techlandia will be kicking in and we have a bunch of people that will be coming on really soon and we're going to get heated up. We're probably about right after Labor Day, but until then you just have Grumpy Old Teachers, Scott Bedley and I in the house. Scott, do you have any last words for us?
Hey, I hope everybody listening has an amazing year and it impacts kids beyond what they could ever imagine, to be successful beyond what the kids could ever imagine.
Okay, here. And then, Liz, hang around after we stop recording, and I will give you the links to both podcasts, all right? We're just going to stop the recording now, and we will – all right, so I got cut off on the last one. I will catch you on the flip side.
You have been listening to Techlandia, a member of the Education Podcast Network. For more great content, please visit techlandiaradio.com and edupodcastnetwork.com.